Today on Secul, amid crashing poll numbers and crises international, President Biden loses it yet again on another Fox News reporter.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
The great unifier, bringing calm to the world, peace on earth. You've got the troop, U.S. troops on heightened alert, 8,500. We talked about yesterday, maybe up to 50,000 being sent overseas, potentially by President Biden, to somehow be involved with this Russia-Ukraine potential conflict there. You have, of course, all of the domestic crises which are building up. Inflation, the crisis at the border, the economic concerns, just a whole host. COVID still raging, causing major disruptions in everyday life for everybody. And of course, the schools and education, all these issues. And he was supposed to be the great unifier, the one that puts us, we're all together. And he gets a simple question yesterday. There's a press gaggle shouted out from Peter Ducey from Fox News. A question that any reporter could ask right now. It's about inflation. And he was doing an event on the economy. Take a listen to the question and then President Biden's response.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Let's move. Thank you.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
There you go. I mean, this guy... they complained about Trump being aggressive and abrasive, and this guy does this on a this president does this on a microphone. But you know what it points to? It points to a bigger issue. His sarcasm, his degrading Peter Ducey, who does a great job, by the way, for Fox News. It points to a much bigger issue. This isn't even about inflation. It's about inflation. It's about border insecurity. It's about Russia. It's about China. It's about Iran. It's about the world that under the Joe Biden method of doing all of this, guess what? It's not working. So what all of this is about is the political reality that Joe Biden now finds himself in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is, again, I think that what you see is from President Trump, his criticism for the media, they thought it was too hostile, but it was to your face. If he thought you were fake news, he called you fake news. He didn't do it in a, my mic was still on. It wasn't done in secret. He told it like it was and how he felt. And that's very different than the third time now President Biden has been caught talking down to reporters, twice to Fox News reporters, once to Real Clear Politics reporters. But what does it really point to? To me, it points to a president who is just, it's falling apart, right? I mean, your domestic agenda is falling apart. I mean, the Congress, you can't get your own party together. And then the world is also appearing to fall apart. And while we focused a lot of time yesterday on Russia, Ukraine, we can't forget what's happening also potentially with Taiwan and the buildup there. So I think you put this all together and it's starting to show. That's what we're starting to see from a president who ran on civility to now he's cursing out reporters. Or he is talking down to reporters when he was the guy who supposedly ran against, I want to be the opposite of that. The truth is that President Trump was a lot more honest, was just told it like how he felt like it.
You didn't have to guess.
You weren't having to catch him on a hot mic to see how he felt. And I think that, again, these incidents show, is there really that much difference between these politicians, too? I think actually Biden is worse. This is the real Joe Biden. He's a pretty nasty guy. He's been a nasty political operator most of his life, almost all of his life. And he's attacking the media because the questions that are being asked are too realistic. They hit too close to home. We'll take your calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. Like, where is Jim Acosta? Shouldn't he be out there, having a fit right now, maybe being checked into a hospital?
He's got his own
this?
Little program now, so maybe he'll...
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm sure a lot of people are watching that. We'll be right back on Secul.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Juxtapose this. So this was President Biden's first day in office. Literally, first day when he took the oath, he made it this comment. Take a listen, bite two.
But I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way the last 4 years.
Yeah, unless you're a reporter.
For Fox News.
For Fox News. Or any, actually, there's other outlets too. You went after Real Clear Politics. But I just want to juxtapose that, because that's basically what he ran on, is you don't like the personality of President Trump, you like my personality better. But this is how he treated, too. Another question from Fox, a different Fox News reporter. This was last week. Jackie Heinrich, take a listen. This is to a female reporter. Put into context how they would have erupted on President Trump. That's why I bring up the Jim Acostas. They needed like a safe room to go to if something like this happened. They would call him sexist. I mean, the list would go on and on. Bite 17.
Are you waiting on Putin to make the first move, sir?
So he goes. So she says, "Why are you waiting on Putin to make the first move?" He says, "What a stupid question." Now, it's not a stupid question. Why would you not potentially sanction Putin preemptively? Take preemptive steps to stop Putin instead of letting him invade before taking a step to try and prevent the invasion. And his response is, what a stupid question. That would have been everywhere, Dad. I mean, if that was Donald Trump. It's not acceptable. And first of all, the question is not stupid. It was a good question. I mean, you know, and I just go to this. The walls are falling in.
That's exactly
And, you know, when you're in that White House and the walls start falling
in there.
It's very small. Your staff's also losing it in a sense.
Yep.
They feel like they're treading water because they're having to correct you every time you speak.
And you know, you got to understand, as George just said, take inside the White House. I mean, the Oval Office is a nice size office. It's not gigantic. And there's a lot of people in there usually with the president. Usually it could be up to a dozen, sometimes more. And then you've got these little offices after it. So it's a very tight space. So when the pressure is up, which it is right now, people react. And Joe Biden's reaction is to belittle the reporters, because the inflation issue right now is the number one issue in the country domestically, Andy. It's number one.
It is. I don't see how families are making it, going to the grocery store, buying Staples and coming out with $150 and $200 bills for a family of four or five. It's an egregious and horrible thing. And the gas prices where I live are $4 a gallon, which in Georgia is very high from what it was. But what I'm saying is that these questions are fundamental questions. He asked, Ducey asked about inflation. This Jackie Heinrich asked a question about tactics and strategy.
Right.
Why aren't you making a preemptive move? Why are you waiting for Tsar Putin to make the first move? And so these may not be the most artfully stated questions, but they're stated in a fashion that gets to the average person. Why is the President of the United States belittling people on inflation and Putin and not answering the question in a simple fashion?
Give an answer.
There is a response.
She said, does it hurt in the... Ducey's question, does the inflation situation hurt in the midterm? Here's if you're just being politically smart. Here's what you say. It's not going to be a factor in the midterms because we're going to get inflation under control. That's what a president says, Harry.
I think that's correct. I think that's certainly true of a competent president. So President Biden promised both decency and competence. Instead, he has delivered indecency and incompetency. And those two aspects of his presidency are shining through loud and clear. The Biden presidency, like Humpty Dumpty, has fallen, and President Biden cannot get up. We have American troops who are massed near the Ukrainian border in Poland and other countries. Immigrants are flooding the U.S. border, with illegal immigrants up by 141% year over year. We have inflation raging out of control, COVID numbers rising after he promised to shut down the virus, even though he cannot shut down his own raging incompetence. So I think many American people are justifiably upset with the Biden presidency, and yet one of the biggest impediments to improving his presidency is Biden's own character, which is beginning to shine through loud and clear. And I think virtually every single American is now aware that there's a raging, angry person in the White House.
Wes, you have an article up actually at ACLJ.org, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, which looks back at the 1 year in office, but you wanted to address this.
Well, here's the thing. The president is coming off as being not compassionate and dismissive. Think about what these two reporters, he was dismissive and disrespectful to them. And that's sort of become his modus operandi recently, and I'm not sure why. One of the things I mentioned in the article on the website is that when last week at that disastrous news conference, when a reporter asked him about his approval rating in the Quinnipiac poll, which is a respected poll, Biden's response very glibly was, "I don't believe that poll." It came off as dismissive of the question and the reporter. And what it really comes off as, Jay, is dismissive of the concerns of the American people, people that are suffering at the gas pump and the grocery store, people that are concerned at the southern border. When the president is glib about it and makes smart comments back to a reporter, the people in America feel like they're being dismissed too.
We got a Mike in Maine on line one. Hey, Mike, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan, Jay, everybody, thanks for taking my call. You know, this administration and this time that we're in, it's one good thing that's coming out of it. It's a time when people like Peter Ducey can really shine. I oftentimes will watch the press briefings just to find out what question he's going to come up with next, because he will ask the questions that nobody else will ask, and it's just so entertaining to hear how they respond to him.
You know, what's interesting to me, though, as I said, is there was an answer to that question if he was just thinking through it. And if you're thinking politically, you would say, look, the inflation issue is an issue right now. I've got my economic team on it, Jordan.
It was at a meeting on economics.
I just came out of a meeting on economics. You don't think I think it's an issue? Of course it's an issue. But we're going to have inflation under control, right? We're working on a plan. The plan's going to work, and inflation will be under control way before the midterms.
But he didn't even have to answer. You know, it was a shouted out question after press gaggle. That, you know, you have either you answer it substantively because you know you're on camera, or you just ignore it. Because it wasn't a normal press conference. But let me play Chuck Todd, because, again, the pile-on is not just coming from, don't think this is just the conservative media and conservative world that we're in. I wouldn't say that the walls are closing in if it was just conservatives upset at Joe Biden. It's everyone. It's the left and mainstream media. This is Chuck Todd, yesterday on NBC.
President Biden's news conference on Wednesday was designed to kick off a second year reset of his presidency, recapture his political identity, if you will. But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit. He's no longer seen as competent and effective. He's no longer seen as a good commander in chief, or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president.
So, again, I mean, that is from Chuck Todd saying that he's not seen as competent, not seen as effective, not a good commander-in-chief, not likable, not easygoing. I mean, so that's basically the only positives Joe Biden had really going into the race with President Trump was that final 2 points. More likable, easygoing, more, you know, not going to have those outbursts and all those kind of things, except for he's having the actual outburst instead of and he's pretty unpredictable these days, too. For instance, on Friday, we're talking about sanctions on Russia. On Monday, we were talking about troops going to Russia. That's not a predictable presidency.
No. The problem is that the lack of prediction is also because the lack of planning.
Yeah.
And the lack of detail. And I think what you've got is, you mentioned this earlier, think of the White House as a small building with a lot of people. And I think that what's happening is they are dealing with issues in a way. I mean, the military situation, Wes, with 8,500 troops being deployed, what does that even mean?
You know, it's hard to tell because, the Biden's messaging and his reactions, worldwide to our adversaries and our allies has not been consistent. It is confusing. Our allies don't know what to believe, and our enemies, they think they have this president figured out. 8,500 troops there, perhaps it's a deterrent. However, as we talked about yesterday, if you really want to deter someone like Vladimir Putin, you go in proactively ahead of time. Jackie Einrich asked that question last week. What do you do ahead of time to set him on his heels and say, this behavior is not acceptable? We have seen none of that, Jay, none of it.
Yeah, but, Europe, there's also a Europe. Jordan talked about this yesterday. I think he was right. Before we go running in with a zillion troops or even, 10 and 20,000 troops, Europe itself, Andy, very quickly here, is not unified on any of this.
No, and to the president, contrary to the president's statement, if I've been to the European scene, I've been there in our European office, and I can tell you I've read the European papers, and if he thinks that he's going to lead the charge and the European Union and all the European countries are going to follow in lockstep behind him, including Germany, for example,
nope.
You might as well forget that right now.
Nope, not going to happen.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, we're starting to put the Biden presidency year one into perspective. Crisis and disaster. Crisis and disaster. Do you agree? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
You know, I want you to take a listen to, this is the Deputy National Security Advisor, John Finer. He's talking to CNN, this was just yesterday, on North Korea, on Putin. Just take a listen, Byte 19.
We mentioned that North Korea fired new missiles overnight. Obviously, what Vladimir Putin is doing is provocative. Why does it seem that these foreign leaders, in some cases rogue foreign leaders, are testing President Biden?
You know, John, I know there's a lot of temptation to connect these issues because these events are taking place simultaneously. The North Korea challenge has been with us for quite some time, really going back years and actually decades.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna
everybody
go
wants to jump
I was going
to
go to West. This idea that it's not related is ridiculous. It's related to who the commander-in-chief is.
Of course.
It's related to our standing in the world, the fact that our commander-in-chief went on TV to the whole world said NATO's not united. All those things, they add up. And so these leaders think this is my time to be provocative and to also play to my domestic audience, and I'm the strong man.
They are undeniably connected. You know, we said on this show many times that elections have consequences. Policies and actions have consequences as well, and they're affecting not only Americans in negative and undeniable ways, but the perceptions of our allies and our adversaries. Those perceptions are so important, and they have consequences. And if they perceive America as weak or the president as being vacillated and uncertain, they will absolutely take advantage of that. And I think that's what we're seeing happen.
But, you know, I think it's also, you look at it together, and they mentioned, like, the, you know, the situation with Russia and of course, with Ukraine, and then the situation with North Korea. But under the previous administration, this was not happening, Harry. These actions weren't happening. So, you know, who are you kidding? So they try to say, you know, this goes back a long time. Well, it does go back a long time. But 4 years ago, this wasn't happening.
I think that's correct. And essentially, again, it underscores a point that we've made again and again. Elections have consequences. Weakness has consequences. And strength has consequences. And so the world is responding to the flailing Biden administration. And again, I reemphasize a point I made earlier. The Biden administration keeps failing. It keeps falling down. And the world does not believe Biden will ever recover, will ever get up. And so why not take advantage of the situation? That's why the Russians are on the move. The Chinese are on the move. The Iranians are also planning their own moves.
Yeah, this is the headline in Daily Mail right now. Biden is tested on four fronts. So you don't think this is related? You're the Deputy National Security Advisor. Well, let me just read it out. Putin forces the president to ready 8,500 troops to protect Ukraine. North Korea launches fifth missile test. Iran-backed militia attacks U.S. base in UAE. And Beijing torments in South China Sea.
Okay.
You don't think that's related to your leadership, well, Mr. President?
Of course it's related to your leadership because it's a lack of leadership. But it's also, to echo what Wes said, policies have consequences. And, you know, this is not haphazard. That's the thing people need. It looks haphazard because the president's on national TV and he's saying, oh, yeah, well, if they invade a little bit, a little incursion, we could live with that. And, you know, NATO's not unified, so I don't know what we're going to actually do. But all of that has a consequence. And I think his sharpness with the reporters, which is what we started the broadcast out, is the frustration of the reality of what he has found himself dealing with.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. You know, the Europeans, especially Putin, and Xi Jinping and the leaders and the Iranian leaders, they're not stupid. They watch the media here. They look at what the president says. They look at how he reacts. They hear the word minor incursion. They jump on that. They hear that NATO is not united. The president exposed himself by saying that. They see him lose his cool at a press conference and make and curse at a reporter. They see that. They look at him concerned about the Ukrainian border, and this is Harry Hutchison talking, and not looking at his own border in the Southwest. I borrowed that from my colleague, Professor Hutchison. He's more concerned with the Ukrainian border than the U.S. border. So they're looking at these things, and they see a president in a state of meltdown, and they take advantage
Jordan,
of it.
Jordan, what are the political consequences? I mean, it's early before the midterms now, but this is a symphony of problems.
It's piling up. So it's piling up to where you can't see that these issues are resolved by the midterm elections. So if you're the Democrats, it's how bad are we going to lose? How many seats will we be down in the House? Not if we're going to lose the House. The Senate is starting to turn as well. It's not really, the question's not about Republicans taking the Senate. So when you've got this many international issues, on top of that, there's supposed to be an Olympics ongoing, you know, in China. And while they're looking to, as we've talked about, they're looking at Taiwan, looking at the situation with the U.S. kind of taking this point. But take a listen, because this is still the Deputy National Security Advisor talking to CNN. We're going to be talking about some of the border numbers, which are, again, outrageous, that came in through the month of December. The people illegally crossing and the drugs coming in. But take a listen. This is John Finer continuing with CNN Byte 18.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
They will not secure our southern border. Right. This is the administration. John Finer, I'm sure, agrees with President Biden and Democrats that we should just let people flow through. So why should we care about Ukraine's border? We don't care about our own. I mean, that's the best.
First of all,
is that the best answer? That's the best answer you're going to tell the American people? That's why you should care about Ukraine, because they've got borders? I mean, to me, again, I go back to this. Putting U.S. I'm so angry about that, this idea, because you see time and time again from Democrats, the bloodshed begins on their watch so often in these haphazard approaches. I mean, yeah, like our producer Will said, should Ukraine build a wall? Would the Biden administration pay for that wall while tearing down the Trump administration's wall? I mean, this is why they are absurd in their entire policy approach.
Wes writes in his piece, it's up, it's President Biden's first year in office is a disaster by any unbiased measure. You write, those on the right continue to be highly critical of his executive orders, his policy proposals, and his demeanor. He's also under fire by disenchanted members of his own political party, those on the left saying he's not radical enough. I think that statement actually is part of his problem. That's why he doesn't know how to respond, because he doesn't know which base he's playing to, or if he has a base to play to.
I think you're absolutely right. The political pressure is on. It's brought on, though, by his ineptitude. He's trying to please the radical left. America is a center-right country, always has been politically. And so what I think we're witnessing is that average, everyday Americans are having an extreme case of buyer's remorse concerning President Biden.
We got a lot more ahead on this broadcast. If you're watching on our social media platforms, we encourage you to share this with your friends. We've got a whole topic coming up on the border. And some of the issues that we're doing at the ACLJ involving that, including some new FOIAs that are going out in our government accountability project.
And I want to take your calls. So what do you think about the fact that Biden administration is telling you should care about Ukraine? You put U.S. troops potentially in harm's way because we care so much about their borders. With our own southern border, seeing record numbers of illegal crossings, legal drugs. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I mean, think about what Jordan just said, because it's a really great point. We're not caring about our own border with Mexico, but we're willing to send troops over to Europe to protect Ukraine's border because they have a border. That's what the Deputy National Security Advisor said. Your reaction to that, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And I encourage you also to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org. Back with more, including your calls and comments on social media when we come back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
We will fight.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back. We started the show talking about just how the president, when you see his response to reporters like Peter Ducey, and you saw how he treated Jackie Heidrich, you saw he treated a reporter from Real Clear Politics, all the last week. It just shows how the walls are kind of caving in on this administration very early. We're only talking about year one. You know, so he didn't get that period. The honeymoon period was very short, and disaster, COVID still raging as an issue, southern border still a crisis, international crises all over the world from China to Russia and Ukraine. And we're going to get to the border in a little bit, because this is the Deputy National Security Advisor. I want to play it again for everybody. He's speaking to CNN. He asked that question, which I think the administration, as I said yesterday, has to try and educate the American people on why we should be so concerned with Ukraine. Not that we think the Russian aggression is good, but that we should be so concerned with Ukraine that we'd send our own troops there. Okay? You got to explain that to people. This was the answer. Take a listen to the hypocrisy from the Deputy National Security Advisor yesterday.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
So there you go. He says it's so important because, they have borders. Yeah, this administration.
Borders are inviolate.
Yeah, that we don't build walls. You know, this administration, they don't build walls. They don't believe in border security. And now the numbers prove, what does that cause in America? And by the way, it's not just the illegal immigrants themselves. It's the drugs. It's the violence. It's the gangs. It's the terrorists. When you get soft on your borders, how did that guy who the terrorist in Texas, the synagogue,
get in,
make all these trips through Europe, had a criminal record. He had no problem traveling to the United States.
So you had the Deputy National Security Advisor to the President of the United States say that our borders should be inviolate. And they was talking about Ukraine, their borders, talking about borders of countries. First of all, Andy, the word inviolate.
Should not be violated. In other words, sacred. Inviolate is like you take an oath that you will do something and that you will not relent or recant from your oath. So it's not violable. You cannot violate it.
Right.
And he makes that statement, and our sovereignty should be respected. Well, look at your own backyard, Mr. President.
Yeah, well, let me give you the numbers from your own backyard. CBD, Customs Border Patrol, encountered 180,000 migrants at the southern border the first 3 months of fiscal year 2022. And we're just starting. Have already seen 218,000, which is the highest on record at the time. 518,370 encounters in the first 3 months of fiscal year 22 is what my numbers are saying there. That's more than doubled. Meanwhile, this is my favorite. And TSA has confirmed that it's letting undocumented immigrants use arrest warrants as identification to go on an airplane. Let me say that again. The Transportation Safety Administration has confirmed that they are allowing undocumented immigrants to use their arrest warrants as ID to get on an airplane.
Well, as a former prosecutor, I can hardly sit in my seat and not flinch when I hear that. In other words, I've indicted someone. There's an arrest warrant for him. He doesn't have a driver's ID, and he goes to the plane and says, well, what is your identification to get on this aircraft? Well, I don't have a driver's license, and I don't have a government-issued ID, but here's my arrest warrant. Oh, come on. Welcome aboard and have a seat.
Yeah. Would you like peanuts?
No, I don't want any peanuts, but I'll have anymore. A Fresca.
Okay.
No more peanuts. Maybe pretzels. This, again, to me, it just shows this is the crumbling walls in administration. It usually doesn't happen the first year. First year, you get a pass for a few months because you're dealing with issues the other administration was dealing with. But now they own the border. They own the crisis in Ukraine and Russia. They own the crisis with China and Taiwan. This is all under their watch now. You can't just blame COVID and the increase in COVID and not being able to figure out how to get back to normal. You can't blame the past administration.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-31. Tonight, I do want your thoughts. The idea that you should care about Ukraine because they have borders, when our own southern border is being overrun. I mean, again, it's not just being overrun by illegal immigrants, it's being overrun by drug traffickers. So I just wanted to just go through these numbers again. In December, Customs and Border Patrol encountered nearly 180,000 migrants at the southern border. The official number, 178,840. The first 3 months of fiscal year 22, they've seen 500,000 encounters. That's double, more than double, the first 3 months of fiscal year 2021, which was the highest on record at the time. And this is not making a lot of news, honestly. I mean, it is in the news, but with all the other crises happening around the world and in our own country, it's kind of the second, third story now. But then add to that the drugs. Right, so the drugs that are coming in, there is a 1,066% increase in fentanyl alone. 1,000% increase. It's a deadly drug. It kills people. Tiny. You've seen it on TV where they take out the tiny little percent that it takes to kill you, to kill an adult human. And they're talking about 1,000% increase in seizures. But when they tell us why to care about Ukraine, which, by the way, I think I can come up with other answers. Their answer is because Ukraine has borders. Harry, to me, it's just, it's the worst of the worst when it comes to this out of touch. And I guess going a step further, out of touch, they don't even realize they need to listen to their own words played back to them.
Absolutely. So the Biden administration has mastered the art of self-contradiction. So they continue to offer policy prescriptions for other countries rather than offering constitutional policy prescriptions for the United States. So rather than defend the U.S. border against all enemies, foreign and domestic, rather than prevent fentanyl from overrunning our borders, human trafficking, sex trafficking, all of these activities, the Biden administration is set on doing what? Protecting the Ukrainian border. Why? Because it's sacred, whereas the U.S. border is not sacred. So why doesn't the Biden administration put America and Americans' interests first? I think it's because they are committed to a globalist agenda. And as part of this globalist agenda, they want to rein in Russia, but they refuse to rein in China or to rein in illegal immigration that's flooding across our border, causing havoc in border communities. And that is one of the reasons why more and more Hispanics located in border areas of the United States, they are legal citizens, they are turning against Biden's incompetence.
Yeah, I mean, to me, again, I want to play this from Fox News this morning. It was a report from Fox News on the border. Take a listen to this, Biden 11.
Right now, we are in front of a parking garage in Brownsville where, for the very first time during this border crisis, we actually witnessed the mass release of single adult male migrants from federal custody. Federally contracted buses dropping off dozens of migrants at this parking garage. And what you'll quickly notice is these are all single adults being released, almost all of them men. No children, no family units. And this raised eyebrows with us because single adults are supposed to be expelled from the country via Title 42. So we watched as these migrants were ushered into this unmarked office with a for lease sign. There were some black tarps set up outside to restrict the public from viewing what was going on. And after a short time in that office, we started noticing taxi cabs showing up to this parking garage, the La Plaza parking garage.
I mean, so the idea that there's taxi cabs and they're just, we know they're traveling on their arrest warrants.
Yeah.
Traveling on arrest warrants, taxi cabs taking, and they're, by the way, when they travel, folks, this is why we say it's not just a border issue. They're getting on planes. It's all over the country.
Well, I want to explain, how do you possibly explain this? Because normally if you have an arrest warrant, there's limitations on where you can go because you're supposed to be arrested. I want to be clear on this. If someone is issued, if a court here in the immigration court issues Andy an arrest warrant,
right?
The job of law enforcement, TSA, would be to notify Border Patrol, hey, this guy's got an arrest warrant. Let's get him.
Right, that's the procedure. Instead, they're taking him, according to this bite that we just played, they bring him in buses. They take him to a place where it has a black tarp so that we can't see what's going on. They put him in there, and taxi cabs show up, what, to take him to the lunch at the Ritz-Carlton?
Maybe.
I mean, really?
But here's the fundamental problem with all of this. This is the total lack of direction and policy. Harry, you direct our policy. If you have no policy, or you're, as Jordan, as you said, the policy is being directed by these individuals, was apparently, I mean, that's what it is. This is what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
So we shouldn't be shocked.
So all of this was indeed predictable, but the Biden administration was dead set on doing one thing and one thing only, and that was the reversal of each and every Trump-era policy that was working with respect to the border. They have indeed succeeded, and the American people are paying the ultimate price in terms of increased drug abuse rates, increased sex trafficking, and the like. And where is the Biden administration on all of this? They are basically saying, we believe that the Ukrainian border is sacred.
More important than ours.
Absolutely. They're sending troops to the Ukrainian border in Poland. Where are the American troops massing on the southern border to protect American citizens? Yeah, they are non-existent.
How about take 8,500 of those troops and put them in our border, because border agents reported a 1,066% increase in fentanyl seized in South Texas last year. Wes, you're in the military. This is not, to me, this is, you got your priorities wrong.
Absolutely. You know, we take a vow, an oath in the military to defend the country and the Constitution. They are not defending the country. And, you know, and think about it. The sexual trafficking is horrible. The drug trafficking, the human trafficking, you know, and yet they're doing nothing about that. But this is also, Jay, a national security issue. Yep. In a report that came out in December last year, the people who were apprehended, we don't know about the getaways because we think that number's in the hundreds of thousands. The people that were apprehended, there were 102 different countries, people from 102 different countries that were apprehended at our border. It's not just people coming from the Northern Triangle. It's a national security dilemma.
I'm holding in our hands a demand letter to a FOIA letter to the this is to Department of Homeland Security, focusing on human trafficking, among other things, human trafficking, illegal border crossings, exploitation of women and children, and, of course, drug trafficking. We've asked for specific information about this. I'm sure we're going to get nothing from the government, and we will be in court. But I want to show you, our audience, and tell you, our audience, we're not just talking about these issues here. We're doing something about it, and this is what we're doing about it. We're taking this very, very seriously.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the phones. Mary in Maryland, on line one. Hey, Mary, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking the call. I have a very great concern because a year ago, I would have never guessed that this country would be in the situation it is now. And so I'm thinking, do we have time before the next election? Are we ensured that we won't have a nuclear attack by foreign countries such as Iran or North Vietnam or China?
I don't see this as an escalating conflict where we're going to send in a lot of American troops. The president's not been able to articulate why we're sending in 8,500 troops. So, and I don't think the American people are going to tolerate it. We can't have another 20-year war. And let me tell you what else we can't have. Can we just be really honest here? We cannot have a war with Russia.
Absolutely not.
Over a country that is corrupt.
Yes.
And that we can't even, you don't encourage, and you want to prevent Russian aggression.
Yes.
Into Ukraine. But you don't necessarily have to lose.
Know what you're dealing with.
Lose American blood for bad actors and a comedian president. I mean, so let's actually look into, before you start rushing troops to Ukraine, who and what are you defending? Billionaire oligarchs? Do you think that resonates well with the
most of which are loyal to Putin?
Yeah. And half who are not.
All right.
So you're fighting a billionaire's war. And all of them corrupt. So, just remember, right before President Zelensky, a comedian in Ukraine, it was a Putin ally.
Yeah.
And the Ukrainians had in place. So, I mean, this is, again, it's not a stable country that you're defending. And to put potential American blood on the line without even being able to explain to the American people, the best answer you got is they have a border.
That
should be Europe's job to defend.
Yeah, but that is what their answer is. They have a border. So do we. They're not defending it. But you don't even have a united NATO here. What are you thinking as you engage in this? That's why we want you to stay engaged with us at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
I mean, we've now got U.S. spy planes, this is a report in Daily Mail, are trying to find out if Putin has deployed tactical nuclear weapons to the Ukrainian border. Those are smaller, more controlled nuclear weapons. We don't get into all the details of that. But I just want to juxtapose sending our troops into the middle of that. And the best answer they got is Ukraine has a border, not NATO, not Europe.
Now it's going to affect the economic stability of Europe.
Right. Well, and by the way, why are we fighting Europe's wars? I thought that we spent all this time since World War II preparing them so they could fight their own
battles.
Because
they're not, as Andy would say, they're not unified. You were just there. They're not unified in what they want, how they want approaches. The Germans don't want this.
No, the Germans are very happy with the Russians right now. They're very content. They're not going to do anything to upset their deal with the Russians and the gas situation. So we've got a leader who's leading the troops, allegedly, with no one following him.
But the lack of direction, though, I think presents a problem. And this is where it does impact the United States. And while we have to be on top of this, which we are. And that is that lack of leadership and this getting our troops into harm's way again without a real plan, to me, Harry, sets the stage for a consequence you don't expect, or a consequence that could have devastating consequences.
I think that's precisely correct. And so, for instance, if you focus on the southern border, the president of Mexico respected the authority of President Trump.
Yes.
He disrespects the authority of President Biden, or should I say, President Kamala Harris, that Biden confuses himself with. At the end of the day, the Central American countries, are they helping the U.S. out now? I think the answer is absolutely no. They are essentially welcoming in caravans of illegals because we are welcoming them in.
Yeah.
The same thing is true in Taiwan. We have live fire exercises by the Russians off the coast of Great Britain. But why not? Because Biden apparently is unprepared to do his job. There may be tons and tons of reasons for this, but he volunteered. He ran for president, and he is not putting the American interests first. He's putting the interest of other nations first, and I don't understand
it. We're going to take calls, but I want to say something on this because I think this is really important here. Do you think that Russia would be doing live munition exercises off the coast of Ireland if Donald Trump was president? And listen, you want to argue about Trump, this and that, but let's talk about strong leadership. Do you think they would do that, by the way? Do you think you would have a situation where Russia would be on the verge of invading Ukraine under the previous administration with Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State and Rick Grenell as Director of National Insurance, National Intelligence, but also ambassador to Germany? Let's not forget that part of his portfolio. No. So the weakness here is what is driving this. Let's take some calls.
Yep. Nancy in Arizona on line four. Hey, Nancy. Welcome to Secular.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you so much for all you do. My question is, all our elected officials take an oath of office to uphold and defend our Constitution against attacks, foreign and domestic. But this crisis at our southern border is bigger than just a crisis. It is a major danger to every citizen, and it's a burden on the taxpayers. So my question is our only option to wait for the 2022 election? And will America be able to survive another 9 or 10 months of this Democratic poor leadership?
Here's what you've got. This is what's going on the border. Over the last 3 months that they have, calculated period. Remember how the fiscal year runs here. You've had basically October, November, December, you had marijuana seizures of 700 cases. I'm not talking about pounds or anything. You had 400 cocaine, 66 encounters with people carrying heroin, 1,300 with methamphetamine, 126 with fentanyl. So you don't have border security. We're saying if you get arrested at the border, use that as your identification to get on to an airplane. I mean, I want you to think about that for a moment. But that's where the priorities are. And if you're in leadership and your priorities are wrong, guess what you're going to get, Wes? A bad result.
Absolutely. I mean, actions and policies, they have direct consequences. Our adversaries, Jay, are having a heyday.
Oh, yeah.
The people sending people across the border, the drug cartels, which are now basically controlling all of the border crossings. They coordinate the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drugs. And they actually put people at choke points. People are trying to get here to get a job. And because the CBP is overwhelmed at that choke point, the drug cartels arrange that so they can go into other unguarded points and put people across and drugs across, sex trafficking and drugs.
But the problem is, elections have consequences. So does it matter for the next election? Is that how you fix it? Yeah, because Congress isn't fixing this.
No, it's too divided. And even if Republicans take back the House and the Senate, President Biden will stand in their way. So this has got to be kind of a multi-year approach. And
you're going to have patience.
Yeah, there have to be patience, and you can't forget. You can't just start shrugging your shoulders. Don't accept this as the new reality, as the new normal, that border crossings are going to double every year. The amount of drugs are going to increase by 1,000%, that the world has to be in chaos, that the world doesn't fear the United States, that the world, these bad actors continue to act as if there's no check on their power. You can't start accepting that as a reality. If you do, you're playing right into the Biden handbook and the Democrats' handbook, that this is just the new reality of the world. It does not have to be the reality of the world. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania, final call of the day. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I have a question. Why is the current administration defending a border in Ukraine when they are not willing to defend our borders right here in the United States?
Well, we've been talking about that for the last hour, and that's because it's not their priority. They want basically an open border situation. They bragged about not finishing the wall that President Trump had put in place. They bragged about that. Now we're suffering the consequences. The number of fentanyl cases coming here is sickening. Methamphetamine, sickening. Heroin, cocaine, marijuana. That doesn't include the sex trafficking of minors. But we're going to send 8,500 troops, Andy, to Ukraine or to Poland maybe, or wherever we're sending them to NATO. I guess countries that may want us to come, but we're letting our own border go. It's really ridiculous. It's repulsive, actually.
It's beyond that, Jay. It's beyond repulsive. It's beyond sickening. To send troops to Central Europe to protect a border of the Ukraine, but not to send one troop to protect the border and the southern part of the United States. You know, Jay, it reminds me, when I look at President Biden, of the long parliament in England, and where one statesman looked at the parliament and said, "You have sat and stayed long enough for all the good you have done. In the name of God, go." Yeah. And the same thing applies, in my view, to Joe Biden.
We're going to stay on all these issues. I mean, you can't, again, don't accept this as normal. You know, we start off the show, but we start off the show with how he treats the reporters, the walls kind of closing in. It's only year one of the Biden presidency. You know, they're talking about, is he going to run again? Is he going to have a challenger? We are only into year one. He's got 3 more years. Now, a lot can change for in the House and the Senate. There can be a lot more of a check on that power. But when it comes to these foreign policy crises, it has to be a real wake-up call. Don't let this become the new normal. That's why we talk about every day, is to, let's not treat this as how the world just is going to be for our future, our kids' future, grandkids' future. That's not acceptable, and we have to do more. We have to do better. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.